Hello, hi, welcome to another Chisel Pod. I'm Joy Pandey. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today in studio, we have someone who is known for his influential contributions, both as an artist, but also as a cultural creator, curator. I'm talking about Rashid K himself. Tune in.
Yes, Umzanzi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Rashid.
Yes.
K,
yes.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What, like, we are honored.
I'm honored.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask, because I think the fact that it took you 10 minutes to get here and it was quick like that. What's life like what is life in the day of Rashid K? Like, were you planning or content creating a show? Were you writing music? Were you planning Back to the City? What were you actually doing before you got here?
I'm actually working on Back to the City stuff right now. Yeah. So, but it's different things every day because yesterday I was shooting The Chop with Zinga. Mm. The other day I was shooting The Masterclass. Mm. So it's different things, different days. The other day I was shooting a music video. All of these things happened this week.
Yeah. We'll definitely get into all of that. but I wanted to just hone in on just the genesis of your career. I think a lot of people kind of downplay or do not understand the impact that you've had in showbiz altogether. So let's break it down. Let's describe your journey from where it started to where you are today.
Okay. I don't know where to start. Yeah, but with Back to the City, it started 2007 under the bridge. This year, it's 18 years of Back to the City. Mm-hmm. We're still at it. It started small with 3,000 people. We on 25,000 people now. Mm-hmm. And then I started radio and TV in 2013. Mm-hmm. You know, I started on Nokozi FM doing a hip hop show, mm-hmm. 2013 to 2015. Then I joined Metro FM, mm-hmm. was there for 7 years. Now I'm back again to Nokozi FM, you know, every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then TV, I did Friends Like These with Boo back mm-hmm. then. And then I moved to Yo TV, which was under the same production company, Urban Brew. Mm. I did Yo TV, Battle Stations. Then I moved to I Love That production where I was doing Ones and Twos. Mm. I don't know if you remember that DJ competition show. Yeah, I was producing that. And then I moved to Red Pepper where I was doing She's Knees, Frenzy.
Yeah.
I did that for quite few seasons. Mm. And then I moved to SABC 1 to do One Mic season 1, 2, 3. Mm. And it's been that journey. I've been an editor for I Speak Hip Hop magazine. I work for Hype magazine. Mm. So, but it's always been hip hop, whether it's radio, print publication, TV, or events. It's always been hip hop, no matter where I was.
So it all started, I guess, behind the. What came first, though? The behind the scenes TV work, radio work, or music?
It started with music. It started with music. High school days, you know. Luckily, I went to an art school, so I discovered a lot of these things early. You know, so it started with music as a hobby. You know, going to gym early, getting my first 3,000, I'm like, okay,
come on.
I can get paid from this.
Yeah.
You know, so it kept on snowballing from one thing to another, but it was correlated.
Yeah. So how did you get to pursuing TV, more especially behind the scenes? A lot of people in the industry could say, that's because, you know, the music industry really does not have money. So is that where you figured, you know, the coin would be, or was there a real passion behind it?
When I started with TV, working on TV, the music, it was still a hobby. Mm. I hadn't done it like professionally, releasing songs out there. Mm. So I met up with DJ Spoo at the SABC. I was an editor of a magazine. So I approached Spoo, DJ Spoo. I was like, yo, bruh, I do back to the city. I'm also an editor of a hip-hop magazine. So I know a cool people. So I want to come join friends like this. I can bring you like cool contestants. And then he was like, come see me on Monday at Urban Brew. I went there. I got the job. So I started on friends like these, like bringing the contestants. So until I because when you're inside, you learn a lot of things. So then after that, I joined Yo TV on the production side, like behind the scenes. So the rest is history. So I kept on moving from one production company to another.
So let's hone in first on the music aspect of your career as well. I can't remember which podcast it was, but you mentioned that you now get into studio when you're bored. Is that still the case?
It's still the case. I'm not full time. It's still a hobby, but I make sure that I do it. I take my hobby serious and do it professionally. Because I go to a proper studio, do proper mixing and mastering, and shoot a music video and take it out there like a real artist would.
Absolutely. I definitely agree that you take it quite seriously, because I was like, that diss track, that OG track that you did, I'm like, all of that for this? Like, you made so much effort. Good quality video, that there was a whole concept-wise. The lyrics, though, I'm like, I'm not sure. So tell me about why you decided to put so much energy in it. Is it because just the culture of hip-hop, where you're trying to be like, this is what's going to bring it back?
It is the culture of hip-hop, because if you understand the backstory, it started on the podcast. Saying this, and then him saying this, and then I come back saying this. I was like, you know what? We can go back and forth the whole year. Let me go to the studio and lace a track. And so after that, there was nothing. You know, there was no back and forth. I did it the hip-hop way.
And for those listening who are obviously needing the background stories, because it was based on the beef that you have with Stogie T, which is still existing, I'm assuming.
it was not seeing eye to eye and just addressing the disrespect me. No, you're not going to downplay me like that. You know, so I was addressing the situation. It's not like when we meet, there's beef. No. But I haven't met him since.
Okay. So you would say that you are definitely an OG, not an old person in the industry.
I am an OG. My credibility speaks for itself.
What makes an OG in the game?
It's the impact and the contribution and what you have done for the culture.
So why do you think he does not necessarily recognize it? Is it just because, do you think he's mad that he was never involved in that documentary that he mentioned in his comeback?
Actually, that's where it all started. With the documentary I was commissioned to do back in 2012. It was a South African hip-hop documentary. Imagine documenting SA hip-hop and you're leaving him out. So I approached him and he said no. And then after saying no, he went on Twitter to say, yo, Rashid approached me. I said, no, I want to tell my own stories. I don't want to be misrepresented. But I was like, I gave you an opportunity to represent yourself. Now you're going on Twitter saying all this stuff. That's when all the misunderstanding started.
I see. So who did you end up recasting him with?
No, I had a list of like South African hip-hop figures. I interviewed all of them. They were on camera. Flew to Cape Town for Ready D. We were all over South Africa. Whoever contributed to the development of South African hip-hop, we got them, except for him.
Except for him. Let's talk about the people that you got. Obviously, as an OG in the game, you definitely know the people who represent the hip-hop culture, who are at the foundation of it. Who are those people?
Those are my OGs, you know. I can't even say I'm an OG in front of them. Okay. Like DJ Rady D, POC, Lance from Ghetto Rough was very instrumental.
Absolutely, real OG.
You know, Bafitlile, if you still remember them. And then there was Crowded Crew.
Okay.
in other places, the fathers of Mutswako. Yeah. So I went straight from the beginning, from the roots.
Slicker? No.
Yeah, Slicker is on the...
Cool.
Actually, Squatter Camp, not just Slicker.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, we did Slicker alone, but we also did Squatter Camp as a collective. Mm. Yeah.
I think beyond your work, I will go back to the music now. Because you've been in the industry for so long and you've worked behind the scenes for so long, I just feel you have so many stories to tell. I wonder what you can tell me that's quite interesting that has happened behind the curtain in the hip-hop scene.
In the hip-hop scene?
Yeah. Some shock factor. Give me something.
I have to, dig deep and think hard because I've managed Big Zulu on his come up.
Oh, okay.
You know, when he was doing Vumatluzi and I'm a Million, I was working with him, you know, until he blew up with Imali Ningi, you know. So, and I also managed Gigi LaMaine from the Ice Cream days, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stories, especially with the artist. You travel all the way to Northwest or Mpumalanga and then you're dealing with shady promoters who don't want to pay you, I'm going to pay you tomorrow or 2 days later. And then you chase the money and you never get it.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stories, industry stories. You know, some are they need to remain there in Vegas. You know?
Oh, man, come on. That's the stories that I want. Those are the stories that I want. Give me one. No? Maybe even a Big Zulu story from the come up.
A Big Zulu story. But this one was on the papers in Mpumalanga. He was performing and he was on stage and he saw some guy beating up a woman.
Mm.
He got off stage and he beat up that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
there's many more.
I could write a book.
You owe us a book. I was about to say. I'm sure you've already even started penning it down. No?
I have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
When is it coming out?
I don't know. I'll have to go through the publishing deal and all of that, but it's done. It's complete, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That might be coming soon, I would say, because it's already done. I mean, I'm sure there are people in the industry that can put it out. Let's go back into the music. The genesis of your career.
Yeah.
KO also is another beef because you guys were beefing over Skanda and the origins of that. Set the record straight for me.
Okay. Besides me being an artist or whatever, I'm a historian. I've written magazines. I have stories from way back. I've shot documentaries, the one I've just spoken about, and the Skanda thing is also documented. Sizwe Dlomo even attested to this, that when he was still hosting Season Scoop on YFM, there was a guy called MT. The original MT.
Okay.
Yeah. So I call him the most unfortunate rapper because he lost the name to the MT that we know.
Yes.
And then he lost the subgenre that is KO popularized it.
Yeah.
So he had a KO had a problem when I say, yo, this is the original, the originator of Skanda. It's MT. He's like, yeah, but the sound is not the same. It was just the name. Yeah, I'm talking about the name.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about the name. If I can create something else and call it Amapiano and say the sound is different.
It's still Amapiano.
It's still Amapiano.
Yeah.
So that was the whole situation. So he felt like I was disrespecting him or undermining him.
Mm.
But I was just...
Stating facts,
yeah.
Okay. So you say with music, you do it as a hobby. And you went into studio right now with AB Crazy. Let's talk about that collaboration.
Yeah.
That brotherhood also.
Yeah.
You guys work together a lot. Tell me about your relationship first before we talk about your joint project.
AB Crazy is like my best friend. You know? Yeah, he's my best buddy. Besides music and everything, we hang out together, we chill together, we do things together. And it's been like more than 10 years of friendship.
Mm,
you know, it didn't start with music. I think our first song that we did was 2018, you know, but we've been like friends for years, you know, because, when I was on Metro FM, I was doing a show with Oskido and AB Crazy was signed to Kalawa.
Mm.
So every time we we hang out with Oskido, AB Crazy would be there, and that's how the relationship developed. Mm. So we've been, because every year we drop a song, mm. a song or two.
Yes,
so
yes.
This year we decided, yo, bro, why don't we come together and drop a project?
Mm.
Mm. And it was like, it was a no-brainer. We didn't even have to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay. We got into the studio, laid some few tracks, and we dropped an EP, the Brotherhood EP.
Mm.
Because we had a single already out called Brotherhood.
Yeah.
So we just ran with it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the narrative or the message that's consistent within the project. What exactly are we conveying?
It's love. It's mm. positive message. Friendship, relationship, family,
mm.
happiness. There's a song called Happiness.
Yes.
There's a song called So Grateful. So mm. it's the positive outlook
mm.
at life in general.
Mm.
You know, without complaining, hey, life is hard. Hey, we're suffering, unemployment, crime. Yeah. No, it's a happy project. We're doing happy music, positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this project can actually climb up charts and really compete and revive what hip hop is right now, or the state of hip hop right now?
It would have if we had a big budget, because we're not promoting it aggressively. Mm. We're just shooting music videos and take them out. We haven't done live performances in a while since the project came out, but we've done some TV appearances, some TV performances, performing live mm. on TV. The marketing and promotion of the project is not aggressive,
mm.
so I don't think it will do what it's supposed to do.
Okay, yeah. is it the marketing, or isn't it the sound itself? Because I mean, sometimes music is so undeniably good that it will just fly on its own. Obviously, yes, today we know people use different ways. They use TikTok to promote their music. We do dance challenges. We do other things. But
trust me, like, it's not even the music being good. This mm. project is beautiful, from track one to track six.
Okay.
It's amazingly beautiful, and mm. it's timeless, and it's gonna last. But it's print, not mm. not being good. Because mm. if you submit something like this, you know, I submitted two singles already to every radio station, more mm. than 50 radio stations.
Mm.
But no, because it doesn't sound like what's popping right now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so yeah. it's not even about the music itself. It's mm. it's about the whole the industry environment.
Yeah.
They one-sided, they want a specific sound.
Yeah. And what do you think, let's talk about the state of hip-hop right now. A lot of people say, or rather a lot of rappers have said that beef, or rather, you know, disputes is what will revive the hip-hop industry, because a lot of people say that it's dead or whatever. Do you think the beef is what is really needed to, you know, highlight hip-hop a little bit more?
I don't think so. I think beef and diss tracks are part of hip hop, but it doesn't have to be fabricated. Okay. It has to be real. If I have a problem with you, I have mm. a problem with you. Mm. I shouldn't pretend like I have a problem with mm. you, you know, or we plan it behind, yeah, let's do this fake beef so mm. we can sell records. It has mm. to be authentic, mm. you know. But I don't think it's something that's gonna revive SA hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small industry. Instead, it's gonna divide it into small fractions. In America, you can afford to have one artist like Drake having 50 million people following him,
yeah.
and another 50 million following Kendrick.
Yeah.
You know, here we don't have that following.
Mm,
yeah,
I see. So, what do you think has really led to the demise of hip hop? Is it really Amapiano, or
it's not Amapiano. I've heard that excuse.
Mm.
Hip hop. There was hip hop versus Kwaito. There was hip hop versus House. There was hip hop versus Gom.
Mm.
Hip hop versus, why should it die now? Because it's hip hop versus Amapiano.
Mm.
I think the problem is personal agendas and personal vendettas, because 90% of the radio compilers are DJs, house DJs, and I'm a piano DJs, you know. So you're going to submit a song, you're going to be told by an I'm a piano guy that a hip-hop song is not good enough. You know what I'm saying? The way the industry is designed doesn't favor hip-hop. That's why there's no radio station now with the hip-hop show, except to Cozy FM where I'm at.
Come on.
You know, YFM just canned it. Metro FM canned it 2 years ago, you know, with Speedster. 5FM canned the Miss Cosmo show. All these big radio stations, even Igagas provincial in KZN, True FM provincial in Eastern Cape, they cancel the hip-hop shows. So that doesn't give... You release a hip-hop song, where are you going to take it? Who's going to talk about it? Who's going to review it? You know? So there's some sort of a sabotage. I know some people can call it a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
But if you don't have platforms, you know, to showcase all these artists, you know, it's going to be rough, you know. Last year on YFM, they told me that YFM is playing 10% hip-hop, you know. And that 10% includes the Drakes and the Kendricks and the Lil Durks.
Yes. Because, I mean...
What are the chances of you getting into that space?
Yeah.
You know, even our biggest artists right now, the Nasties and the Blackies are not on high rotation. Are not on high rotation. You check the radio monitor, the top 50 doesn't have hip-hop. It has AKA Company, which is not really a hip-hop song. And then it has Sete, K.O., which is not a hip-hop song.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so the whole top 50 of radio monitor doesn't have hip-hop songs because they don't allow hip-hop on high rotation.
Even the DJ is still playing All I Do Is Win.
Yes. You know.
Yeah, at the club.
Everybody is contributing to the downfall of hip-hop.
Yeah.
And you cannot say hip-hop is dead when the Pretty Uglies and the McLaras are doing 2 million, 3 million streams. Who's streaming that? They are going gold and platinum.
Yeah.
You know, the hottest song right now, Check, by Usmamane, Awema, it's gold. He's not on radio. He's not on high rotation.
No.
It means there's a market out there. We do big Back to the City 100% Hip Hop Festival, and 25,000 people come for hip hop without expecting Amapiano.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. In fact, I don't think it needs Amapiano.
These 25,000 people are not catered by any radio station. They're not catered to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's quite a gap, which I hope you will try and help. But I mean, you did mention you do have a hip hop show, the only
national radio station.
Yeah.
The only hip hop show on Ukhozi FM every Saturday, 9 to 12, number. Yeah.
Come on. And at the same time, you are creating platforms where there are a couple of platforms out there where hip hop somehow gets to also be carried on or, you know, kept alive with the legacy. That being with Zynga's podcast, I think he's done very well in that, especially because he's very much hip hop.
Yeah.
El Tito as well.
El Tito.
Let's talk about the culture of podcasting and the fact that you also dabble both. How do you find the difference between the two mediums, and where do you think I think most of the success will come from podcasting?
Because
more digital, it's very ready. You know, we don't have to wait till Saturday to listen.
No. Podcasting is the future because, like, first of all, there's freedom. There's freedom of speech. You can sit there, use foul language, and drink on set. You know, and everything is real. You know, you're not trying to be politically correct. You know, if I'm saying Smamane is nice, is the next one to blow up, I mean it. You know, he didn't pay me.
You
know, so I think. Hip hop podcasts are playing a huge role right now. You know, shout out to the Sobering Podcast, the Masterclass Podcast, Chopping It Up with Buddha T, Zynga, and the El Tito Podcast. You know, those are the big four I can think of, like, from the top of my head. Yeah, but they're doing amazing things.
Yeah. I wanted to also talk about the Hip Hop Museum. I know you, I think, do research there for the, if I'm not mistaken. Will we be also seeing maybe some of these younger artists, you know, somehow being displayed there? Or do you really have to do your time first in this industry before?
Okay,
you...
so far our timeline starts from 1980 to 2020. So our next research will be easy because it will start from 2020 going forward, which, because it's very hard to find some information online of something that happened in 1984.
Of course.
You know, like, there was no documenting at all. So some of these people that are still alive, we had to go to them, sit down with them, and get the stories from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
And then it's going to be at the museum forever.
But also, we are in a digital era. How are you... marrying the two worlds, the digital era and the museum itself, for people who definitely should be, who can't maybe make it to physically to the museum? How are you marrying the two worlds to keep?
We will have a digital version of the museum where you can like go from section to section, you know? Yeah. We're still building that. We're not done. The museum is not even 50% finished, you know, so we're still working on it. Even when you go to the museum, there are screens. There are screens where you can just chill and press and whatever. You have options.
Okay.
So that option that we have there, it's going to be online. So at some point, you won't have to go to the museum to check it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into Back to the City. It's happening in October. Am I
October the 12th? Yes.
Let's talk about that journey real quick. If we're to talk about how far it's come and now, obviously, I'm imagining you're doing it bigger and better. What are we expecting? Are we getting an international artist too?
Always. What are we getting? Since 2013, we've been having international acts. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. A lot of these artists, it's like when I was a kid. I never dream of meeting them. Now I'm like driving to the airport to pick them up.
Come on.
Like, yo, I'm with Talib Kweli right
Come
now.
On.
You know what I mean?
So it's
amazing. So we'll always have international acts.
Who's this year's international act?
That's going to be a long process of giving out tickets. Yeah, guess who's coming? Guess the artist. So we can't announce it, you know, because there's a whole like campaign that goes with that.
But can you tell me, okay, beyond the lineup, tell me how you're doing it bigger and better this year, different from last?
It's always different. We're gonna have four stages, live bands and the Rastas, reggae and dancehall, because they are our cousins, you know. And we're gonna have the power play stage for up and coming artists and competition for producers and rappers and dancers and DJs, and the main stage where all the big acts from local and the international acts will be performing. And we have all these activations as usual. We have basketball, we have stalls, we have skating, we have graffiti. You know that graffiti in Newtown on the wall?
Yeah.
We're the only ones with permission to paint that.
Lovely.
So we bomb the walls legally. So we change those graffiti artworks every year. Yeah, during Back to the City. So it's gonna be amazing, man. Fashion stalls, if you wanna come buy clothes, everything is gonna be there. All the elements of hip hop will be represented. You know, because hip hop has a lot of elements, and people who say hip hop is dead, they're referring to rap. You know, if you ask them, oh, you're saying hip hop is dead, what do you know about graffiti? You know, name three break dancers that you know.
Come on,
you know. So they always use it loosely. Say hip hop is dead. No, you mean rap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Back to the City is coming up. Your joint project with AB Crazy is really out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out. There's two videos. So Grateful and Brotherhood. You can check them out on YouTube. So in the next 2 weeks, we're gonna be shooting a music video for Happiness. Yeah.
What else is in the pipeline that I did not mention?
What else is in the pipeline? I think I spoke about everything. Podcast, radio, TV, Back to the City, museum, my music. yeah, that's basically it. That's
so much to look forward to. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. We're quite honored, and we look forward to seeing the rollout of the album. One, I guess you said you shot another music video, so look forward to seeing how that turns out.
Yeah,
and everything else that has or that is in store for you in future. All the best with that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We hope to see you guys at the Back to the City Festival.
We are there. Yeah. We are there. I'll be emceeing the little small crowd there.
All right.
I'll sign the dotted
line. Holla for media accreditation.
There we go. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.